It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 9th. I'm Ben Johnson. Comcast and Charter, two cable companies with a combined 47 million customers around the country, announced their intent this week to, quote, explore potential opportunities for operational cooperation in their respective wireless businesses, unquote. Come again? Exactly. Here to explain is Roger Chang, executive editor of news at CNET. Roger, thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me.
Can you make me understand this? Comcast and Charter, these are both cable companies providing wired internet to people, but they're like agreeing not to compete in cell phone service. What? Help me.
Yeah, it's a really strange one, right? Because, they're cable companies. But both of them have been working on a wireless initiative. So what they have are deals in place to resell Verizon wireless service under their own name.
So you're using Verizon's infrastructure, yep. Verizon service, but you're paying your bills to either Comcast or Charter through some services that they're going to offer you.
Exactly. The idea, take Comcast, for instance, they've got that Xfinity package of video and internet services. You could now, or you'll soon be able to add wireless on top of that.
What does this mean in your mind, really big picture, about the way that we are all going to pay for and experience our suite of internet wireless services in the future?
I mean, I think, and I hate to credit T-Mobile with this, but the way they've been talking about how, wireless service isn't, we shouldn't think of a wireless service as wireless service. We should just think of it as access to the internet. It's just access to the internet on our phones. And it should be treated the same way. And I think that's ultimately what it is. I mean, it's all really, you're just going to be paying for access to all of it, regardless of whether it's home or whether it's on your phone. That's kind of where we're headed.
But you might only have one real option if you want to get it all from the same company in the market you're in.
Yes, that's definitely the dilemma right now, is that there are a few companies out there that are kind of cobbling together all these assets. And most likely, you are stuck in a market where you only have one of those companies that's able to do everything for you.
Perfect. Roger Chang, he is executive editor of CNET News. Roger, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Dread Pirate Roberts is a character in the movie The Princess Bride. Also, the online pseudonym of a person who ran the infamous dark web marketplace The Silk Road, Ross Ulbricht, was the real name of the Dread Pirate Roberts, according to FBI authorities who arrested the 29-year-old programmer connected to the online marketplace back in 2013. Ulbricht is currently serving a life sentence without parole. A new book culls through tons of data to tell the story of Ulbricht and the economic experiment that was the Silk Road. American Kingpin, the epic hunt for the criminal mastermind behind the Silk Road, was written by Nick Bilton. Nick, what drew you to this story?
Well, I was working for the New York Times. I lived in a little sleepy area of San Francisco called Glen Park. And I used to walk my dog every day past this tiny little library. I mean, it looked like a tiny shoe store. And I found out one day that this website that I knew about, the Silk Road, where you could buy and sell drugs and guns and things like that.
Yeah.
The guy running it had been arrested there. And that he In that library. That he literally lived a few blocks away from me and was running the biggest, drug and guns empire on the internet.
If only you had spent more time in the library, Nick.
I know.
You would have known him personally. So there's been a lot of debate over whether Ulbricht really was / is the Dread Pirate Roberts who ran the Silk Road. It sounds like you think the answer is yes.
Oh, there's not a question in my mind. And I think there's not a question in the mind of the people who once believed that there were multiple Dread Pirate Roberts. He even, had a moment where he, was the Department of Homeland Security went to his house because of some fake IDs that he was having delivered. And he, beyond my comprehension why, but he's admitted that he could have gotten them off the Silk Road, the site that he ran. And then he was caught, of course, with so much information and evidence that pointed to the fact that it was him.
The Silk Road epitomizes, I think, a lot of what people think is really bad about how people use the internet and the web. How do you feel about it and about the dark web after writing this book?
Well, I think there's a fascinating you know, thing to look at with tech in general. And I've covered a lot of these companies for a long, long time. And they all start out with this idea of altruism, of doing mm-hmm. something good, or even of something innocent. And they all end up being involved in something very, very bad. This is across the board. Let's take Twitter, for example. Four guys out in San Francisco accidentally came up with this idea with this concept of, oh, wouldn't it be great if you're in a club and you can't hear someone on your cell phone that you could text all your friends and tell them where you are? Fast forward to, you know, the biggest hotbed for trolls.
Doxing and harassment.
Doxing, ISIS. Yeah. You have good things too, but you have these bad things.
For Facebook. An entire industry inspired by science fiction, it is kind of shocking how little forethought goes
completely.
Into some of this stuff.
And the same thing happened with the Silk Road. So it's this website where Ross thinks drugs shouldn't be illegal because there are people that are killed and it's unsafe for people to buy drugs and they end up in jail and so on. Great concept. And then the end result is not only does he end up thinking he's putting hits out on people that are going to affect his business, but it also helps lead to overdoses. And then also there's a belief that the Silk Road and dark web sites like it have helped lead to the opioid epidemic in America.
Nick Bilton, his new book is American Kingpin, The Epic Hunt for the Criminal Mastermind Behind the Silk Road. Nick, thanks a lot for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.